Well, I will keep my words brief. We've had such an amazing morning already, and just such a blessing, and I don't want to get in the way of what God has already done through these kids, and you're amazing kids. So they have, just seeing their hearts is such a powerful thing. Their love for the Lord and watching them perform and do this thing. So it's so great to do this every year, and we will be back. I love that it was a news story. I love that was the theme that Sean went with. Just the news, the good news of Christmas, of what it's all about. Setting the scene of what life was like in Jerusalem, Israel at the time. Well, first of all, there's a movie that's just been released last week. Some of you may have seen it. It's called Rogue One, a Star Wars story. Who's seen it already? I've seen it thrice. I'm just kidding, once. But it was opening night. And there's going to be some spoiler alerts here, so if you haven't seen it, because in the end of the movie, what happens... I'm just kidding. Because if I were you right there, I'd be running out of the room or throwing something at me if I was going to give something away like that. But the movie takes place, for those of you that aren't the Star Wars geek that I am and really don't care about this movie or anything, first of all, I say, what's wrong with you? But this movie takes place back before episode 4, which was really the first one, which takes place after the next three. It's confusing. But it takes place after that first Star Wars with Luke Skywalker in 1977, right in there. And it is a time where the Empire is strong and powerful all over the galaxy. I'm not going to get to Star Wars. I've already crossed the line. Stormtroopers on every planet. They're everywhere. Imperial cruisers. I'm done with that. I knew we were going to have a lot of kids in here. So Israel at the time, it was the same thing. There was an empire that was over Jerusalem. Okay, the Roman Empire. There were guards everywhere. Roman guard soldiers on every street corner. King Herod, this cruel ruler, was in charge, kind of like the Darth Vader of our analogy. Taxes were high. And to top it all off, Israel had not heard from God for several hundred years. They had not heard a word from him. So it was a dark time in Israel before this Christmas. It was a dark time. They knew their Messiah was coming. They had that hope, and that's what I think Christmas is. It's hope. In the midst of dark times, whatever, wherever we are, whatever we're going through, I love the hope that it brings. So Israel, it was a dark time. But there was this anticipation of this coming Messiah right from the beginning. They knew that God would send a deliverer, and there was this hope, this anticipation. Pat mentioned that, you know, I get a little excited about Christmas starting in August, July actually. But you know, I think that's one of the best things about Christmas is that anticipation. I mean, you walk into that Starbucks and it's all red, right? Who knows what I'm talking about? It's like, oh, it's here. Okay, I feel that in August when you see the Halloween stuff out. Nothing to do with Halloween, but I know that as soon as Halloween's done, it's Christmas. So it's like, that's the kickoff. You see those little pumpkins out, I'm like, it's here. The music comes out. No, the music doesn't come out. But the day after Halloween, the music comes out. But even in the kids, with Lucy and Cade having kids, watching them get excited, we have a little Advent calendar. They run downstairs and they move the number, counting down to Christmas, seeing their excitement. There was excitement for this coming Messiah, because to deliver Israel. And again, we see it in movies and Christmas cards, and it loses that impact of how really dark the times were for God's people at that time, with this Roman Empire over them. I wanted to read from Isaiah. Again, this is hundreds of years before these prophecies of this coming Messiah. Chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. They were anticipating this Messiah, but they had different plans. The Messiah to them was someone who was going to get rid of this Roman Empire and establish Israel, and this Messiah would come and sit on David's throne, and it was more of a political deliverance. That's what they were waiting for. That's what they were expecting. But God, he had bigger plans. Bigger plans. And I think I see that in my life all the time. I have my plans. And I casually invite God into my plans and ask him to bless my plans and to allow my plans to happen. But God quite often has different plans. And it was the same thing for Israel. It wasn't a political redemption. It wasn't a political deliverance. It's for all of us. And that is the hope and joy of Christmas. And again, this was prophesied way at the beginning, right after the fall in the garden, when Adam and Eve fell. We see the first prophecy of this coming Messiah, this Redeemer, in Genesis 3. It says, "Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel.'" That is the first prophecy of God's plan of redemption. He will crush your head, but you will strike his heel. It is going to cost God something, this redemption, this reclamation. The plan, the paradise that we had that God said was good has now been cursed. But God doesn't, when that happens in our lives, whatever it is, God doesn't throw it away and start over. He reclaims it. That's what he does. He redeems it. He doesn't just throw up his hands and say, "Oh, that's it." He redeems it. And that was his plan right away. That was the first Advent calendar, wasn't it? Right there, the countdown started to that first Christmas. This anticipation in Isaiah 7. "Then he said, 'Listen now, O house of David, is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men, that you will try the patience of my God as well? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel.'" God with us, Emmanuel. That is, Kevin shared last week on the incarnation. God with us. God became man. He left his glory in heaven, emptied himself, and became a man. Again, it's so hard to wrap our brains around that, but we believe it. We believe it because it's. I like that it's a mystery. I like that God's ways are above my ways. I like that I can't figure it all out. We like to put God in a box and say, "Hey, I totally understand that. I understand the Trinity. I got it all figured out." No, I don't. I like that there is mystery in that. But that is what Christmas is. God coming down, an invasion, a rescue mission for you, for us. The dark times in our life are whatever we're going through. But most importantly, it's our sin. That is what he came for. He came to take away our sin. There were plans that were laid right from the beginning of why he came. And there was hope for this coming Messiah. And it is big news. I love what we saw here. You got a glimpse of these newscasters. Did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? You know, again, it becomes, at this time of year, it could so easily become cliche, and we don't want that to happen. In Luke 2, In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." This was big news. This is a big invasion. And I liken it to June 6, 1944, D-Day. Nazi troops are covering Europe, and the Allied forces invaded Europe to start that rescue, to get them out. Do you think word got out that did you hear? The Allies have landed. They took Normandy. It was over 4,000 men died. But did you hear? They're here. Well, they're not here right now. I've seen Nazis there. No, but they're on the continent. They're coming. Okay, the rescue mission has started. That's what this is. This is God's "Here I am." The redemption of our souls is here. And that's why he came. You know, there's lots of reasons why we think Jesus came, and he did so many things. What are some of the reasons that Jesus came? What was his mission? He taught amazing things. He taught so many amazing, wise things. His miracles, to show that he was God. But the biggest thing that he came to do, the biggest thing that it was planned the whole time, was to go to the cross. That's why he came. That wasn't someone threw a wrench into the works and now this was how it was supposed to end. That's what the disciples thought when he died. This wasn't how it was supposed to be. He was supposed to redeem Israel and be back on the throne of David. No, this was exactly the plan right from the beginning. Isaiah 53. "But he was pierced through for our transgressions." Again, this is 500 years before Christ. "He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of all of us to fall on him." That was the plan, to go to the cross. I said this, I think, last Christmas, that the best part of Christmas is Easter. The best part of Christmas is Easter. It was all pointing for that, for the cross, for Calvary. To go to the cross, to take away our sin, that we might be friends of God, that we would be called children of God. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God." It's when we put our faith in him and what he did for us that we become his children. It's such a very popular thing. Oh, we're all children of God. Bible does not teach that. Bible teaches that we are separated from God because of our sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. But as we just read, he has laid the iniquities of us all on him. And if we put our faith in him, we can be called children of God, as many as received him. Lucy wrote a letter to Santa about a week ago. And she helped, I kind of helped her with the spelling. You know, and I'm expecting when kids write their letter to Santa, it's, "Dear Santa, I would like this, please bring this. Please bring this, please bring this," all that stuff. "I've been a good girl this year." She has. But that's not what she wrote. I actually took a picture of it because I do those kind of things. I took a picture of her letter. That's what she wanted to write. I helped her with the spelling, but she wrote it. "Dear Santa, are you friends with God?" right? And you know, it's the same question for all of us. Are you friends with God? Because that is why he came. That is what Christmas is all about. He came to go to the cross to take away our sins, to take care of that separation from all of our uh-ohs, we call them with our kids, our mistakes, our sin. We all fall short. But that's why he came, that we would be friends of God, that we could be reclaimed, the redemption of Israel. And again, it wasn't just for Israel, it's for all of us. That was another one that the first God's people had to tough pill to swallow at first, that no, this isn't just for Israel anymore. This is for everyone. This shall be a sign for all people, for all of us, that we would be friends of God, that we will be redeemed. And that is what Christmas is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for the simple faith that we see in all of these amazing kids, these children, Lord, that you love. God, you know their names. And we just thank you for the spirit of joy and celebration that we have this morning. God, help us to all take a note from them, God, and have that simple childlike faith to not confuse things or, God, just to come to you humbly and just receiving you, Lord. Receiving you maybe this Christmas for the first time, God. That's why you came, to take away our iniquities, that we may have new life. That's why you came. That's what this is all about. Help us to remember that this day, this season, but all throughout the year, Lord, every day, that we stand before you only because of what Jesus did on the cross for each one of us. So we thank you. We pray that you continue to bless this season with our families, God, and we just thank you for who you are and all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.